time out there. This is the Jason Ross Show. Here's Jason Ross.
The trailing Christie. He's going to go long distance. He's got the bucket. Here's a steal by Christie. Christie goes behind the back. Feeds to Keon Clark. Hammer rip. Asia Drobniak at the top of the circle. Hands to Barry. Steal. Christie. Breakaway. This is the way you top 100. With a reverse two-hand flush. 101-73, Christie with a double-double, 11 points, 13 assists, and a great ovation from the appreciative Kings fans.
I miss the moments of the greatness of the Kings back then, and the guy that made them great as well was Doug Christie. How awesome has he been with his time? We thank him so much. He's been great. We got so many people lined up wanting to talk to him on the text line. At Metro PCS text line at 44-1140. The phone line's at 339-1140. Again, Jason Ross now joined. It's a pleasure again to be joined by Doug Christie. Again, thank you, Doug, for hanging with us here. And, you know, what's been interesting for you in your storyline kind of after your career, you've always been tied with this organization. You've kind of been an ambassador. We've seen you at different rallies. Kind of while this saga is going on, has there ever been anybody approached you about, you know, joining a minority ownership or different things in a quest to keep this team here? Has that angle been approached to you at all?
No, it hasn't. I mean, from the standpoint of being involved with the Kings, I've always told Jeff, the Maloofs, everybody from a coaching standpoint, whatever, however I can help, however I can be involved, it's a place that I love coming to. I love the energy. I love being around Sacramento, the fans, the team. So anything that I can do, I'm all in.
That's great. All right. So we continue more with Doug Christie and more people that want to have questions for you. And we appreciate that with Tony in Sacramento. Tony, you're on with Doug Christie.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Doug, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, Tony.
Hey there. One thing I kind of always just thought about as far as what the Kings players back when we had those great series with the Lakers is, what goes through your head when you really think about Game 6? Now, I want you to come out and say, well, you know, everyone, there's conspiracy and all that stuff, but I know us fans, what we think. But what kind of pops in your head when it comes to that Game 6? Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
You know, Tony, what I think about is I just think of getting just roughhoused by Shaq. That's really what goes through my head. You know, more than anything, I've had multiple emotions about that. I had the emotion of playing in the game. I had emotion of a couple years later of speaking about it. But really, when I sat down and I watched the game and I looked back on it, I blame us. You know, we're the players. We're the ones who ultimately can close the deal on that thing. Was it a little fishy? Maybe. But ultimately, I look at, I think it was game four, where Robert hits the shot, Samaki Walker throws a three-pointer from half court, and we are up by 20 in the first quarter or something. You know, those are the lessons that we had to learn. But I don't like game six. I don't even like talking about it, really.
Yeah. I mean, is that something you would have even – well, I don't know why you'd rewatch that game, but do you rewatch any of those maybe better moments? I mean, a lot of the series where your guys are good, do you ever go back and watch any of your old stuff?
You know, I haven't, and as my son gets more into basketball, I'm sure that we're going to do that. You know, I've been asked some questions about different series, so I went back and watched some of the games so I was educated, because when you're in it, it's not the same as going back and, you know, being that Monday quarterback
sure.
thing. So, but no, I haven't really watched that much of it. Plus, I didn't like the player I was. I was like, man, you should have went to the left more. You should have shot it right there. You know, I'm doing that type of thing, too.
Always always evaluating, that's for sure. Joey in Citrus Heights. Joey, you're on with Doug Christie.
Thank you, guys. Doug, big fan, sir, big fan.
Thank you, Joey.
My question to you is, playing in those days when you'd step onto the court in Arco Arena, did you ever stop and just look around and just be in awe? And what kind of thoughts were going through your head when you just heard the rumble and the thunder of Arco Arena?
You know, Joey, it's funny because I can remember when there was something, and they had me go out to half court before the game, and I spoke to the fans, and maybe it was just understanding where we were at, and I was just saying, I hope that you guys really appreciate this because it always doesn't last forever. And then within probably, you know, 18 months, it was just everything was over. And it was one of the most awesome things. I can always remember going into the huddle, and I'd put my head down, and you'd wait for your name to get announced, and just the roar and the rumble, and then it would just always give me goosebumps. Some things you get goosebumps once, and it goes away, but that every single time, I would just right up my spine into the back of my head, and even if I wasn't feeling good, I was ready to go when the lights came on and the fans were in there, just because of the energy that they gave. It was special.
You know, and since your guys' great run, the events in the building haven't been the same for the team, but there were specific nights when you guys all came back to get Vlade's jersey retired and Weber's jersey retired. It was great to see all of you guys back there, and we've had already a special night this year where it's kind of a fan coalition and everybody's gathered for a Here We Buy night a few weeks ago, and I got plenty of people on our text line saying, invite Doug to Here We Buy night 2, which is coming up later this month, March 24th. And, you know, I know fans would love to see you. You've been around a couple times, but boy, they love you guys in that old Kings group, just to, you know, make appearances when you can. So I know you're welcome at any time, but boy, they would love to see you sometime here soon again, Doug, because there's a lot of fans out there that love you.
Yeah, I coming back there is just it's an absolute best. You know, my wife and I were down in the Los Angeles area now, and I feel the same way when I go to Pepperdine. It just makes me feel good. That's mm-hmm. where I went to school. And when I get onto campus, it's just something that makes me feel good. And every time I land in Sacramento at the airport and then we go wherever we're going, I just feel good. And that's the type of place that you like to spend parts of your life. So if we can make it, I definitely will.
All right, Doug Christie with us here. Norm in Folsom. Norm, you are on with Doug Christie.
Hey, Doug. Pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome, Norm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I always looked at you as the consummate professional when I watched you play, and we currently have a very talented center on our team that has a maturity issue. As a player or even a coach, how would you help him, or what advice could you give him?
You know, and I assume that you're talking about DeMarcus Cousins, and wow, what a talent. When I look at DeMarcus, if I was a coach and I was dealing with that situation, that's what I was talking to you earlier, Ross, about being able to talk to each player on their own individual merit.
Right.
Personally, what I would do is I would find out the things that he likes, and the things that he likes are some of the things that we would talk about. You kind of got to get away from basketball sometimes, and that's what I found with Coach Pete Carril when he did to me, because I wasn't always, you know, the most professional, but I learned that. And that's something, you know, it's like polishing a stone. You know, you get a diamond and it's rough, and before you know it, it's brilliant and it's shining and it's glistening. And that's what you have in DeMarcus. He has all the talent. He has all of the physical attributes, everything that you need. But what he needs is someone to communicate with him and cross that bridge of communication and figure out what it is that he's missing and how he needs to get there, and just continuing to work with him, because, wow, I've watched him grow, actually. It's not like he hasn't. I was watching the other night, and he turned on somebody and just dunked it baseline. And in the first couple of years, I didn't see that. I saw more post-ups with turnaround jump shots, face-up jumpers, and now he's starting to show his dominance and different things. But man, what a talent. I would just try to communicate with him on his level and find a way, like Coach Carril did with me. Sometimes he'd make me laugh. Sometimes it would make me think, you know, he's asking me a question, or he's coming at me in a way that's so real that I have to stop and think for a second, and he's challenging me mentally.
And what do you mean? I want to go back to what you said, that you weren't always professional. Now, when you came to the Kings, I think everyone would say that you were nothing but professional. What did you have to learn? Where were your shortcomings, I guess, early on in not being professional?
Well, you know, when you're a young player, you know, whether it's, you know, wanting to hang out with your friends, whether or not spend enough time in the gym, whatever it is. And those are the things that Derek Harper and James Worthy imparted to me. And some of the things, like, for instance, I was a rookie with James Worthy, so some of the things that he said to me I might not have listened to, you know, kind of like a parent, not
sure.
Right away. But then all of a sudden I hear him again from Derek Harper and Charles Oakley. Then I see Oak in the gym longer than everybody. I'm like, okay, I need to adopt that to my game. So now I'm the first one in there in New York, and I'm the last one to leave. So I know that, hey, I'm getting in everything that I need from the coaching staff, and then I'm trying to give myself some more. And it started to pay benefits by the time that I got to the Kings, because now you're seeing more professional. I'm learning how to speak better with the press. I'm in the gym. I'm doing the things that I need to do. I'm trying to challenge my teammates. And that's a learning process that you have to go through. So to a certain extent, as fans and the Kings, you're on his learning curve, because he's learning, and you have to learn with him, and you have to hope and encourage him that he gets it in a timely manner that everyone can benefit before, you know, everyone is fed up and saying, oh, we just want to trade the guy. You don't want that, because you got such a talent that you just have to find a way to turn him into that thing that's special and shines for the organization.
And I think what's really different in the example, too, between you two, at least at this point, you were someone that kind of realized that. And at some point, it had to click for you, and it did. And for him, I don't know that he's gotten to that point yet. And that's a huge swinging point for him, it sounds like, if he can get there, because it sounds like it was for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, sometimes it happens through for athletes in a couple of different ways. Sometimes it can happen from a death in your family. Maybe, you know, as you're growing older, your parent or your grandparent dies, and all of a sudden you become more focused. You have a child, you get married, you have an injury, and all of a sudden you see that, you know, basketball isn't going to last forever and I need to get serious. There are many different things that an athlete experiences, and what we have to do as coaches and as trainers and teachers is we have to work with athletes and try to keep them focused and keep them going, because those can also be discouraging moments sometimes. But what we do is you look at a Kobe Bryant and a Michael Jordan. Those are the type of guys that they take those situations that are negative and they let it fuel their fire to make them become a greater player on the court.
All right, Doug Christie with us here. Steve in Vacaville, you got a question for Doug Christie, Steve?
Yeah, a comment and a question. And I was just going to say, in basketball, if there were ever a defensive coordinator position that was there, I would certainly nominate Doug Christie for that. I can't tell you, Doug, as a fan, how much fun it was to watch you. You made watching defense fun. I mean, and I don't know what you majored in Pepperdine, but I sometimes wondered if it were physics. The way you would intercept balls, the countless deflections, seeming to know where that ball was going to be and anticipating, was just really fun to watch. And for a lot of the fans, I mean, you know, I think Doug's numbers could have been more inflated on the offensive end, but he was the consummate professional, the ultimate team player that always drew the toughest defensive player from the opposing squad, whether it was a one, a two, or a three. He always took the hardest one, never bitched or moaned about it, went about his business. And as a fan, I can't tell you what a long-lasting impression that has made, not only me as a father, but pointing out how you went about your business on the court to my kids. And you really affected, I think, a lot of people in a positive way, where that just from your courtside, you know, the way you went about your business on the court. The one thing I always wanted to know was about the shot that went around the world. I mean, we've seen it over and over again, the famous uppercut with Doug Christie at Rick Fox. And I'm just wondering, can you recall the events that led up to that made you say, it's time to throw down, I'm going for it?
I knew that question was coming.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, Rick was always, I don't want to call Rick a dirty player, because I had some of Rick's attributes, meaning that, you know, you're aggressive, you know, you got to do those little things for your team. But, you know, he would kind of, you know, stick his butt out and hit me in the leg, and I'd have a bruise, and I need to use my legs, so now I'm a little mad. And that was something that kind of went on for years as we faced him. And then when the altercation happened, it was more of the code of basketball from where I grew up. And maybe he didn't grow up, obviously he didn't grow up where I grew up. And it's about putting hands on people. And when you put your hands on people, the situation changes. So, you know, I took an offensive charge and I flopped. But I sold it. That's what you're supposed to do. So I fell down, and he was a little mad. So, you know, he threw the ball down at me. Well, when he did that, I took offense. I threw it back at him. And as I threw it, I was standing up all at once. And then he put his hands on me. And when he put his hands on me, I did something that, you know, I regret, because as a father, you know, my son, he comes in, and now we have YouTube, and we have all these things. So he's giggling and laughing. He's like, "Woo, Dad, you really did it, man." And I'm like, "Dougie, come on. We don't want to do that. We want to be professional. What we want to do is we want to beat the living bejesus out of him on the court without beating him up with our hands."
And from your perspective, I mean, you lived it. It was an incident that happened. You were in it. We get so many calls about that, talking about great moments. People always talk about that. How often do you actually hear about, you know, getting in the altercation and punching Rick Fox?
You know, you'd be surprised. Now that we're in the Los Angeles area, probably once every other day.
I believe it.
Yeah, I've always, you know, if I'm with my son in line and we're getting some ice cream, you know, you can feel it's coming, because they start looking at you and they're whispering, and then before you know it, they're saying, "Man, you really did that. We're Lakers fans, but man, you did that Rick Fox thing. I'm telling you."
Wow. You mentioned your son and your training with him and getting him, and, you know, how good of a player is he? What's his potential?
You know, he has unlimited potential. It's scary to watch him. He's way farther along than I was at 12 years old. And, you know, all the things that I was able to learn, I can impart to him. And one of the biggest things is, as athletes, what we do is we mimic. We watch what we see, and then we just, you know, we put it out there on the court when it's time to play. And growing up, you know, I was Magic Johnson. Oh, man, now I'm Michael Jordan. And, you know, that's what I used to do. So now I pass all this on to him. And now with TiVo, we can pause it and go back and forth. So he's learning so much, and he takes in so much information that, you know, he's wearing a size 11 now, and he's only 12 years old. I don't know, but he's getting pretty good.
Well, and, you know, talking about, like, young guys developing, guys you played against the first game ever in this building for LeBron James, I remember thinking, well, okay, he's a high school stud, but, you know, Doug Christie's going to guard him. And I remember when you guys were playing, I go, good night, he's bigger than Doug Christie. I couldn't believe how big he was physically entering the league out of high school. Now, obviously, he's had a tremendous career already, but did you kind of marvel at that the first night you took the floor against him?
Well, you know, I knew there was two things. I knew he was real when I went to back him down, and he stood his ground. And I was like, okay, he's going to be a player. But the one thing is, his first basket in the NBA, I always joke with Mike, is I'm standing at the top of the key, and we run our normal corner set, and Mike swings the ball to me. But before he swings it, he doesn't pass fake, and I'm thinking, did you and him set this up? You know, you guys shot a commercial.
That's right.
He's 18 years old. You know he's going to jump in the passing lanes. My God, he's a kid. He's freaking out. He's going, please pass it. I'm going to dunk this thing hard. And Mike just lays it out there for him on the plate, and we laugh about it. But I can remember just watching him run down the court when he stole the ball, and the way he dunked it, I went, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. And to watch him progress and grow and learn has really, really been a joy. It has been. He's an awesome player.
Well, you know, a lot of people are trying to get him in the dunk contest. You remember your dunk contest back in, what, 95, 96, something like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. You know, I was supposed to be in that thing about 2 years before that, when I was really jumping high, and I just kept getting injured. I sprained my ankle real bad 2 days before when I was with the Lakers. So my dunk contest isn't something that I want to remember. I pulled out some trophies as we were moving, and one was from the NABC College Dunk Contest. And my son said, "You won, Dad?" And I was like, "Yeah, I used to jump real high, and I won." And he's like, "Yeah, right." So, unfortunately, I didn't win in the NBA, but it was fun.
Well, Doug, you've been so generous with your time here today. We've got so many people just praising you all over our text line and on Twitter, and a lot of fans love you. I'm very thankful that you came on to share some of your knowledge and stories and talking to the fans. We really do appreciate it. Love to do it again in the future. Best of luck with everything, and hopefully we'll see you down here soon. And certainly we're hoping the Kings stay, and we want you here down here and maybe involved in coaching. Who knows? We just love to have more Doug Christie around.
No problem, no doubt about it. Anytime, and I truly mean that, anytime, I'll be more than happy to come on. I always love talking about it. Talking basketball is something that I have a passion about, and when you mix that with Kings, you can get me on here all day, buddy.
All right. Well, Doug, you're the best. Thank you. Say hi to the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, you guys.
All right, there he is, Doug Christie. Wow, how awesome is he? How awesome is Doug Christie? Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you to everybody that got in. Those of you we couldn't get to, I'm sorry. We were just jam-packed. A lot of texts, a lot of great feedback. And Doug Christie, wow, he's the man. And, you know, I love his answers on coaching and dealing with people differently. It's very, very well thought out. 155, time for a new loan for your home. Call Paramount Equity Mortgage, 916-290-9999. He was great. We've got another hour coming up, and another former King, current UC Davis Aggies head basketball coach Jim Les. Big game for the Aggies tonight. National spotlight, little national TV at home. Long Beach State coming in. He joins us in the next hour. More coming up, even some more comments from a former King too, Thomas Robinson. Not the fondest of comments about Sacramento and how he was treated here. We'll address that and more. The Jason Ross Show here on CBS Sports 1140.